in your Bibles, the book of Acts chapter 2. I'm going to try to be quick this morning, which means what?
Nothing.
That's what I said. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking. This is our third message out of this particular text. And what I'm going to do is move down to verse 41. And we're going to look at verse 41 through verse, 42. 41 through 42 is the main part we're going to be looking at. If you would, let's stand and show respect to the reading of the Word of God. Let you stand one more time here and stretch out a little bit. It says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And that same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that we have this fan crowd here with us. And Lord, we're thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for who you placed in our life to raise us and teach us and show us the things that we need to know and do. And Father, we pray your blessing upon everyone that is here. And we pray, Father, surely that perhaps someone be saved today as a result of the message that's done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Now, there's one more thing I want to do before we actually get started. If you don't care now, all mothers, if you would, would you please rise? We want to give you all mothers, please rise. See how many mothers we got. Everybody give them a big hand. Man, you can be seated. Look at them. Can't hardly count them, but I tell you what, that's a lot of mothers here today. We appreciate you coming out. We're going to title this message today, What Shall We Do? And this is What Shall We Do, Part 3. If you want to hear Part 1 and Part 2, you can go on Sermon Audio, and we have both those sermons on there. Or in the back, as you go out in the foyer, there's a paper for the CD. If you'd like to have free CD, you can have that too, and you can hear Part 1 and Part 2. But this will be altogether a little bit different than the other ones. It says, "They that gladly received the word." Now, this is an amazing thing. When you look back at Acts chapter 1, they have a roll book, and there's 120 names on it. That's what you read in Acts chapter 1. But here in Acts chapter 2, Simon Peter preaches a message, the great Pentecost message. And the Holy Spirit moved. That's what has to happen. Y'all don't agree? I mean, anytime you preach or teach or spread the gospel, you need to have the unction of the Spirit of the living God. And that's what happened on this particular day. Since it was the feast of Pentecost, there was Jews there from every nation under heaven. And what was happening is Simon Peter on this occasion stood up and preached. I want to remind you a little something. About 50 days earlier, before a young girl, he denied knowing Christ. He denied that he was one of his... Y'all remember that? This shows you if someone fails and falters, they can get back up. All God's people said. Sometimes people need to get back up. The devil wants you to stay down, but guess what? God wants you to get back up. You don't want to waste your time here. We don't know how long we're going to be here anyhow. And what I want to do, I want to tell you what I want. I want to serve the Lord all my days. I want to serve the Lord all my days till either He comes or till He calls me home. Well, what happened first here is they gladly received the word. And the word that they received, when you look at it in its context, the word they received was the gospel message. Simon Peter had preached the gospel. The most important message for you to know is the gospel message. And the gospel message is called the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what with it? Everyone that believes it. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Beloved, that's the full gospel. That's the message I trusted that saved my soul. That's the message that if you'll trust it, will save your soul. All God's people say it. You need to know that you've done it. Now, notice what it says here. They gladly received the word. It wasn't something that was forced on them. Man, I can't stand people. I shouldn't say it like that, but I guess that's the only way I know how to say it. I can't stand people to put pressure on people to try to get them to make a decision that they're not ready to make. Do y'all agree? I think that's wrong. I think when the Spirit of living God convicts somebody's heart, you're not going to have to force them or trick them or put them on the spot. Y'all agree? So I think that's what you have here. Here you have this great host of people. Simon Peter preaches, gets done preaching, and the Holy Spirit takes over and opens their heart, opens their understanding. And it says that what they did here was they gladly received the word. They received it. Now I want to ask you a question. Have you gladly received the word? Y'all think that's the most important thing they are? There isn't anything really any more important than that. What determines where your eternity is going to be spent at is whether or not you have gladly received the word. Now, there's a lot of people that know what the gospel message is, and there's a lot of people that know that they should be saved, but at the same time, they've not gladly received the word. It'd be something like this. It'd be like maybe you have some type of illness, and maybe in this cup I have the cure for your illness. And I'll say, now listen, this millions have been cured from what you have, but what you need to do is take the what? You need to take the medicine. Just knowing that it'll make you better doesn't make you better. Guess what you have to do? You have to take the medicine. And that's what he's telling them to do. He preached the gospel to them, as you read on up in the text. He preached the message of Jesus to them. And then when we come down here, they gladly receive the word. It wasn't forced on them. It was something that they wanted to do. And when the Holy Spirit pricks somebody's heart, that's exactly what happens. Now, have you gladly received it? Let me ask you one more time. Have you gladly received it? Now, there's probably a lot of people here today that's never received it, but plan on one of these days doing so. They plan on one of these days receiving the word, but right now it is a what? It is a no. And what I'm wanting is it for it to be a yes. You need to gladly receive it. Just like any kind of medicine, if you don't receive it in, if you don't take it in, then it's not going to benefit you. You got to gladly receive it. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. When the Holy Spirit touches your heart and He opens your understanding, you want it. And you got to have it. One of the things I believe in is irresistible grace. When the Holy Spirit works on your heart and when He opens your heart, He opens your understanding. And as a result of all of that, you trust Jesus as your Savior. Well, it would be a foolish thing to know the way, plan on one of these things, trusting it, but at the same time, there's still the possibility death could overtake you before you trust it. And I've told you a million times before, I've had that happen. I've had people say, Jeff, was so-and-so ready? And I'll say, well, yes, they were. So on occasions, I'm so happy to be able to say, yes, they were ready. I heard them call upon Jesus' name and trust Him as their Savior. Yes, they trusted Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to tell people? But then there's times that I've had to say, well, I told them. But whether or not they did, I just don't know. Beloved, would you agree with me today that I can't comfort a family by saying, I just don't know? The greatest thing you can leave behind to your family is not a car or a house or money. The greatest thing you can leave behind as a man or a woman is the knowledge that you as an individual have trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. Because that's what gives your people hope once you're gone. All God's people say it. All right, that's our first point. Gladly receive the word. And I want you to do that today. I want you to gladly receive the word today. You can leave out of this place today born again. You can leave out of this place today saved. And they could be anything any greater than that. You say, Jeff, what's the great thing about being saved? Peace. Peace. Peace of mind. Jesus comes, I'm ready. If I die today, I'm ready. Anything I face in this life, God faces it with me. I got a helper. What a great helper I have. Lord lives in me. You know, He can give you the strength to move ahead. When nothing else can help you, God can always help you, strengthen you for things of this life. Let's go ahead and get the second point. They gladly received the word. Now, notice what else they do in the text. Verse 41. They that gladly received the word, what does it say they did? They were baptized. You notice the order? They didn't get baptized before they received the word. They received the word first because that's what saves your soul. Beloved, water can't wash your sins away. Only the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. Well, that's what they needed to do. If you look at the word baptized, everybody look down at the, if you got your Bible with you, if you'll look at the word baptized, you know what you're looking at when you see the word baptized? You're seeing a Greek word. It's the Greek word baptizo. What they did is they really didn't interpret it. They wrote it over. They just put English letters to it, transliterated it, and they brought it what? Over. But if you would interpret it, it means to plunge, to dip, to immerse in water. That's what it did. You know, if you interpret John the Baptist's name, what he's called? He's John the Immerser. That's who he is. So the word baptize means to immerse. Now, the reason why it's done that way, let me tell you why it's done that way. How many times you see me do this? Death, burial, now what else? Resurrection. What's that called? It's called the gospel. You see, the baptism isn't the gospel, but it's a picture of the gospel. And when someone comes and watches your baptism, that's why we have a Bring a Friend Sunday every time we do one, they can see a visible picture of the message that you trusted that saved your soul. All God's people say it. It's a glorious thing. The gospel message, the power of God. Baptism isn't the gospel, but it is a what of it? It's a picture of it. It's a picture of it. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Was Jesus baptized? Yes. Yeah, He walked 60 miles. What would you walk 60 miles for? Think about it. What would you walk 60 miles to do? I mean, you'd have to be something major to walk 60 miles for it. Jesus walked from Galilee. He walked really a total of 60 miles. It was the total that He walked. And you know who He walked to see, don't you? He went to John the Baptist. John the Baptist had the authority to administer baptism. And He walked from Galilee to Jordan, if I remember right. And it's a 60. That's from here to Hawk's Nest. I weighed it out for you. It's from here to Hawk's. That's a long way, ain't it? What would you walk from here to Hawk's Nest to do? Jesus walked that far to be baptized by John the Baptist. Yeah. John the Baptist's name would be, if you interpret the word baptism, is John the Immerser. John the Immerser. Up, down, and up. The reason why it's done that way, because it pictures the message. If you do it any other way, it fouls up the picture. He wants it pictured right. That's why He done it the way that He did. So, they that gladly received the word, those that received the word, what did they do? They were baptized. 3,000 people, I don't know how they done. People ask, well, how'd they do that? I don't know. The Bible says it happened. I don't have to go back 2,000 years ago trying to figure out how it happened if the Bible said it. 3,000 people got saved this day, and 3,000 people got baptized. I sure would like to try that sometime, though, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd sleep all night long and be pumped up and ready to roll the next morning, wouldn't you? 3,000 people, they baptized. Now watch what else happens. They gladly received the word, did what? They got baptized. You should mind the Lord in baptism. Well, it don't save you. A lot of things don't save you that the Lord wants you to mind Him and do. That's how it's made public. Disciples in the commission, disciples are made, and then disciples are baptized. That's what you see in the commission. All right, let's move on to number three. They gladly received the word. They were what? Baptized. And then what's it say they did? Notice what it says. They gladly received the word, were baptized. And that same day was added. They were what? Added. And what were they added to? They are added to the church of Jerusalem. So in Acts chapter 1, let's go ahead and see if I can find this for you. In Acts chapter 1, notice verse 15. I don't know if you ever noticed this before, but in Acts chapter 1, they're having like a business meeting because they have to choose someone to replace Judas. One of the apostles, well, he wasn't truly saved. I'll preach on that sometime if you'd like. But Judas was a fake. Jesus said, I chose one of you 12 and one of you's a demon. That's what he said. One of you's a devil. That's a terminology that Jesus used with regard to Judas. So they had to select someone to be a replacement for Judas. The apostolic office was a special office. They were personally trained by Jesus. They walked with him, beloved, 3.5 years. Personally trained by the Master. Personally trained by him. He surely was. Now notice what it says here. In those days, Peter stood in the midst of the disciples. The number of names together was about 120. So there's your, they had a church roll. They had a number of names together. How many did they have in this first church? It was 120. Now we have more than that here today. But 120, that's how many they started with. Now you go over to our text in Acts chapter 2. They that gladly received the word were baptized, and that same day was added to them 3,000 souls. So they went from 120 to 3,120 in one day. Isn't that amazing? And then when you get into chapter 4, 5,000 more are added to them. So they go up to 8,000. Hey, wouldn't that be an awesome thing? I mean, the Lord was blessing them tremendously. So they were added. They were made a part. Their names in Luke chapter 10, the Bible says we're to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. But we should also, while we're here in this wilderness journey, we also need to be a part of one of these churches. Name needs to be on a church roll. They had a church roll there of 120. Then it went to 3,120 in one day. Who was the roll bookkeeper? I don't know. But boy, I bet he wrote a lot, don't you figure? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who, but somebody wrote it down because they had a number of names on a gathering sheet. Why do you have them down? Why do you put their names down on these things? So you can keep track of people. One of the big trouble today in churches is we lose track of people. It means a lot to people when you keep track of them. I mean, there's people, I mean, I've had this happen to me before. When the church gets very large, sometimes people can kind of fall under the radar, and they're not there. And then next thing you know, somebody will say, have you seen so-and-so? I don't think they've been here in a month. You know what I mean? People can fall under the radar. That's why you need to be a part of a flock, and we watch after one another. All God's people say it. We watch. It's just not the preacher's job. I can't keep track of everything. I can't. There's no way I can keep track with everything. That's why you're in a congregation of people. And people kind of got their own seats they sit at, you know. And you kind of watch around you. Make sure they're here. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they need a good call. Maybe they need a card. Maybe they need something. You can do that. You can do that. Need to be a part of a flock. Well, so they were baptized. And then they were added. Now notice what else. I'm almost done, which won't mean nothing yet, I realize, but I'm rolling pretty good today. I wanted to make this quick today. It says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now notice what it says in the first part of verse 42. It says they did what? They continued steadfast. I'm going to say it one more time, Eddie. They continued steadfast. These 3,000 that they added continued what again? That's what you want from folk. That's what you want from a membership in a local church. You want them to continue how? Steadfast. My favorite verse, my life verse is this. 1 Corinthians 15:58, you have to turn there. It says, be ye steadfast, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. All God's people said. That's my life verse. I've been pastoring 35 years. That's been my life verse for 35 years. It keeps me rolling. Steadfast and unmovable. And it says right here, they continued steadfast. That's what we need to do. Lord, beloved, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you need to continue to serve Him. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 31, says, if you continue, then ye are my disciples indeed. If you do what? Continue. A lot of people make professions of faith in Christendom, but they don't continue. It breaks preachers' hearts. It breaks families' hearts. It does. You want to continue how? You want to continue steadfast. Steadfast. When the end of your days come and your family comes to the service, they want to be able to say, hey, my dad, my mom, my child, or whatever it might be, was steadfast. They continued steadfast. I want to continue on to the end. How about you? So many claim the name, but they're not steadfast. They don't talk about the Lord. Listen, they don't talk about the Lord. They don't have no desire to read His book. They don't pray. They don't attend church or nothing. They just don't do it. There's something wrong there when a situation like that happens. Because God's people, once they've been born again, once they've had their heart pricked, and once they have the Holy Spirit in them, they're going to have, they have a desire to continue steadfast. I want you to do that. Why, what difference does it make what I want? What makes a difference what God wants? He wants you to continue how again? Steadfast. Movable. Unmovable. He wants you to continue to serve Him. All right, let's start to work. Let's look down here just a little bit. They continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship. Now, the breaking of bread in verse 42, it thanks the Lord's Supper. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the Lord Jesus Christ? So this breaking of bread, you'll notice it followed after they gladly received the word, were baptized, and added. That means they give it to their church members. Why is it done that way? Because you know they made a profession of faith in Jesus. You know that they also have been scripturally baptized. That's how it's done. That's the order that it's supposed to be done in, by the way. So it says again, they received the word, were baptized. That's added. Added to what? They went from 120 on the roll to 3,120. 3,000 souls then were added to that. So they went from 120 to 3,120. Then after they were added, they broke what? They broke bread. And that's the same order that we follow here. Last thing they did, you see in verse 42, is prayers. Prayers. They prayed. Let me say it one more time. They did what?
Prayed.
They prayed. We want all of our people to pray. If you want to see something really happen in churches, guess what everybody has to do?
Pray,
man. Y'all know you pray and ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins every day, but you need to ask the Lord to save people. You ask the Lord to save folk. Let me ask you a question. Who are you asking the Lord to save? Who are you asking the Lord to bring back? Maybe you know somebody in your family that's dropped off, and maybe somebody that you'd love to see come back. I mean, a praying church is a powerful church. It's a powerful thing when God's people pray. This church in the book of Acts, they were a praying church. I mean, they would get together and they'd pour their hearts out to the Lord, and they seen a lot of things happen. 120, 3,000 added to it. Next chapter over, 5,000 added to it. They were praying. Now, I realize that was fertile ground, but they were praying for it. I want to have a praying people. I want to have a praying church to where we're all praying and asking the Lord to save people and asking the Lord to touch people. It's a powerful thing. Well, beloved, this was the very last message in this series, What Shall We Do? And if you're here today and you've never gladly received the word, won't you do that today? What in the world, why put that off? You know you need to. You know you need to. I've used this illustration, and you know, if you had a terminal illness, and this cup was the cure, and if you take and drink this cure that's in this cup, it'll make you better. If I bring that in your house and I'd put that on the table and I said, "Now listen, I got a church full of people that had what you have. And if you'll drink this, if you'll take this medicine, it'll make you completely whole." I know a lot of people that's done it and it's made them whole. Well, if I come back a week later and you could die at any time and I say, "Did you take the medicine?" They'll go, "No, we're going to wait. We're going to wait till, you know, a little bit later. We're not going to take it right now." Why would you call me if I did that? It'd be kind of foolish with it. Because you're gambling with your life. I'm not talking about you gambling with your life today. I'm talking about you gambling with your soul. It's eternal. It's eternal. You don't want to fool with that. Most important thing in the world is that you take the medicine. All God's people said, let's all stand. Thank you.